Hello and welcome to Synopsis, your weekly roundup of news and analysis from ONFIF around the world, coming to you from ONFIF headquarters here in the City of London. I'm Julian Fraser. Today we're discussing the shift in Germany's fiscal state, the latest ordeals in the US-China trade war, and the investment shakeup that markets face in the back half of 2019. All that, and more besides, coming up next. And welcome to this week's edition of Synopsis. In an article shared via the ONFIF website earlier this week, our chairman David Marsh wrote about some major shifts in the fiscal state of Germany. Several factors are pushing Europe's largest economy towards jettisoning its long-cherished Schwarze Null, or Black Zero, commitment to balanced federal budgets. Realisation has been a long time coming. Germany's economic partners and rivals, as well as the IMF and OECD, have been lecturing the country for years about the need for more expansionary fiscal policies. Finance Minister Olaf Scholz, who is vying to become co-chair of his ailing Social Democratic Party, the junior partner in Chancellor Angela Merkel's troubled coalition, proposed recently a 50 billion euro stimulus package in case Germany suffers a severe downturn later this year. Scholz's ideas are a collection of old and new measures, short and long term, including tax cuts and extra spending, essentially symbolic, highly conditional, yet symptomatic nonetheless of a change in thinking. Changes are happening by stealth rather than through proclamation. Many off-budget special purpose vehicles, such as the 35 billion euro refugee fund, or a separate fund for climate and energy policies, have reduced the significance of the Black Zero commitment. The lack of a headline policy change reduces Angela Merkel's ability to reap international political goodwill, but eases the transition for her ideologically disparate coalition partners, particularly in the light of weak business confidence surveys and oft-repeated fears of an imminent recession. Trepidation about the possible costs to the German economy of an unregulated UK exit from the EU, along with general uncertainties about the world trade slowdown, are helping behind-the-scenes moves towards a more expansionary fiscal policy. Nonetheless, any action later this year is highly unlikely to represent more than 0.5% of GDP. Reflecting on the latest US sortie and Chinese riposte, Jürgen Ostrom-Müller wrote about the two countries' ongoing trade war and consequences for their domestic economies. The US economy has done well since President Donald Trump entered the White House. He claims credit, but the forecast is not good. The tax reductions boosting the economy in the first phase of his presidency have petered out. And if the game of tariffs on imports from China continues, many Americans will feel the pain as these measures lead to higher consumer prices. China's growth has declined steadily, with trend growth of a little more than 6% being markedly lower than was the case some years ago. The country's sizable current account surplus has disappeared. It is now, broadly speaking, in balance, leaving China without a savings surplus to invest abroad. Both the US and China face falling growth, but their fiscal and monetary policies have run out of steam. A trade war will worsen their predicaments. The problem remains that neither Trump nor Chinese President Xi Jinping wants to be the one to blink first, inciting a vicious cycle of invective initiatives and proportional responses. Things only seem to be assuaged in the moments when Trump turns his attention towards threatening Europe with an Atlantic trade war. As he readies himself for next year's presidential re-election campaign, expect Trump's rhetoric to grow more vitriolic. In the first half of this year, emerging market debt and equity asset classes were up in benchmark indices, and the category was a strong favourite in global investor surveys compared to developed markets, as Gary Kleiman elucidated for the ONFIF website. But fund managers admit that prospects for emerging market currencies, which almost all fell against the dollar over the last several months, in the negotiating mix is an unprecedented allocation variable. Investor preference is for strong domestic consumption and investment stories, especially if the latter is private and for long-term infrastructure purposes. Vietnam is a popular Chinese assembly and manufacturing backstop since it stayed in the Trans-Pacific Partnership despite the withdrawal of the US, and Hanoi just finalized a deal with the European Union. Brussels, in turn, after decades of talks, has reached a pact with Mercosur members Argentina and Brazil. Africa has generated excitement with ratification of a continental free trade zone, also envisioning small stock exchange integration. These arrangements avoid currency questions that could feature imminently, not only in the context of goods and services flows, but as historic dollar dominance and recent sanctions promote parallel channels. In the second half of this year, portfolio managers must brace a reconstitution. While the US-China trade war may soon trigger currency upheaval, an internal industry one will equally shape near-term performance. While on the subject of investing, earlier this week, OnFIF published a podcast with Michael Wilkins, head of sustainable finance at S&P Global Ratings, and Richard Matteson, CEO of environmental data and risk analysis company Trucost. Michael and Richard spoke to OnFIF chief economist Danai Kirakapulu about how ESG criteria are being integrated in the investment community and the crucial role being played by ratings agencies. In other OnFIF-related news, on Wednesday the 4th of September, we are hosting a meeting in New York with an enviable ensemble of central bankers focusing on monetary policy implementation and the Federal Reserve. The following week features a pair of high-level discussions in London, the first with Mario Marcel, governor of the Banco Central de Chile, about his country's economic performance in a volatile regional environment, and the second on the future of Japan-UK relations after Brexit. Details of all three events can be found on the OnFIF website, and links to the relevant pages are also included in the description of this podcast. Before he visits us here in London, Governor Marcel will lead the next monetary policy meeting in Santiago of the Chilean Central Bank on Tuesday, September 3rd. The Reserve Bank of Australia convenes on the same day to discuss a possible interest rate cut, though most pundits seem to believe that that will only come later in the year. Among others, the central banks of Sweden, Russia, and Canada also meet next week, kicking off a tremendously busy month for monetary policymakers the world over. And that is all for this week's edition of the OnFIF Synopsis. To read in greater detail about what we've discussed, visit www.onfif.org. And if you'd like to hear from us directly, sign up at onfif.org/subscribe. And do please feel free to email any questions whatsoever to analysis@onfif.org. I'm Julian Fraser. Thank you for listening.